through the redemption plan of God, Jesus has redeemed you from all sins. Join Gloria and Kelly Copeland today as they talk about how to take hold of the freedom offered by our Heavenly Father on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland's back with us today with more good things from the Word of God. Don't you enjoy finding out what God says in His Word? It's all good. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for Kelly. Amen. Praise God. What are we doing today, Kel?
Well, we're still talking about this week and next. We're talking about living a life that's free from fear.
That sounds
good. It's an appropriate subject for, you know, any day. But we are independent. We've been made independent by Jesus. He did what it took to release us from the bondage of fear.
That's right.
We read in Hebrews 2 yesterday, you know, I have this Bible. It's one of my older Bibles. I don't care. It's all torn up, but it's got good notes in it. I just like having to change them, don't you? But in that Bible I wrote, Dad had said this one time under Hebrews 12, I wrote, never let the devil see you sweat. Because it talked about that it was because of the haunting fear of death that people were all their lives subject to
That's
bondage,
right.
You know, under the control of the enemy, under the control
fear
of what he wanted for you, not what God wants for you. And it's faith that puts us under the control of what Jesus wants for us.
That's right.
But fear puts you under control of what Satan wants for you. You know, it's very much the key to life or death. Very much
That's
the
good.
Key. You choose to walk in fear, you open the door to the devil. So we've talked about this already through this week, and you can go back to kcm.org and catch up with us if you haven't, if you're behind. But it's been fun talking about it because really it's very revealing when you start thinking about your subjecting your life to Jesus for Him to diagnose you. And I want to kind of talk about that today. We've talked about that some, but I want to talk some more about letting Him diagnose you, you know.
That's good.
We read in Hebrews 2, He became our perfect leader because He went through the temptations and all the things that we go through yet without sin. And that's not for Him to say, I'm good and you're not. He has made Himself and His words and His wisdom, and beyond that, His power available to us to walk the same road, to walk through things and come out as though it were Him walking through it, because He walks through it with us. And if we listen to Him, we'll come out just like He would. You know, when people were attacking Him and people were after Him, He just disappeared.
Where did he go?
I mean, we can just... If we have the, you know, faith for His deliverance, and that's what it takes, and He'll make us disappear. You know, this we're talking to the kids this summer at convention about being invisible, using your faith. So I know those may not seem to connect, but Jesus used His faith to become invisible. And we can be, when we're walking in faith, Satan can't get a hold of us. He doesn't have anything to lay hold of. When we give Him the hook of fear and we hook into what He wants for us, when we hook into with faith, we hook into what God wants for us and His plan for us. And His plan is good, always good. You can count on it. You can count on the fact that His... I heard somebody say this the other day. Who was it? I think it was Michelle Bachman at our... We had a women's conference at Eagle Mountain in the spring. And she was talking about... at a women's meeting, and she said, you know, I can just hear God saying, I know the plans I have for you. You know, as women, we don't like telling us what we think. And we can say, I know what I think. You don't have to tell me what I think. Anyway, she said, I can hear God saying, I know the plans I have for you. Stop telling me I don't want you healed. Stop telling me I don't want you free. Stop telling me that I don't want your kids set free. That just got me stirred up because... He knows the plans He has for us. And not only that, Mom, He put them in a book.
He did.
And He sent us a Savior to purchase it for us. So everything that needs to be done for us to be free is done.
That's right.
But our position in this
is... Except our receiving.
We have to receive. And fear is the only tool This is pretty impactful. Fear is the only tool that Satan has to keep you from receiving it. He uses fear to get you to sin. He uses fear to get you to not lay hold of the promises. He uses fear to not have you walk in love. And I want to talk today about, we mentioned some different fears yesterday, but today we want to talk about Mary and Martha. And talk about the fear. I was thinking about them and what this fear was that Martha had. You could ascribe all kinds of words to it, but one thing that she had was a fear of being mistreated. She's like, this is not fair. And you know, pretty much all of us have an opportunity to utter those words. You may be unfairly treated because of your age or the color of your skin. You may be unfairly treated because of you have not enough money. You feel like you're unfairly treated. You may actually be unfairly treated. But Jesus is the answer to that. And going to Him without fear will get you your answers. Going to Him, even if you have fear, go straight to Him and let Him clean you up. Let Him show you what to do. Let Him show you what to say. But I don't think Martha felt like she was in fear. You know, this morning I said something to Emily, my six-year-old, and I said, Emily Jean Ann, your middle name is Jean, and so that's part of her middle name and her other grandmother's middle name put together. But I said, Emily Jean Ann, she wasn't in trouble. I just was saying, I don't even remember what I was saying, but she goes, that sounds like I'm in trouble. Emily Jean Ann. But, you know, in the Word, I've always said that when somebody says your first name and your middle name, it's like you are in trouble.
Like Gloria Jean.
Gloria Jean, or they used to say to me, Kelly D, you're in trouble if they use your first and middle name. But He repeats her first name. It's like, Martha, Martha. Like, you silly thing. When you say somebody's Gloria, Gloria, there's just such compassion I hear in His voice. He knows her name. He called her by name, and He called her out on what she was dealing with. And that's where we have to understand, we don't come before our Jesus with shame. If we have shame and pride in our lives, if you ask Him to, He'll show you what it is so He can remove it, and you can get rid of it, and you can refuse it. You can refuse shame. You can refuse pride. You can refuse fear.
Well, you ask for forgiveness. Anything you have shame over, you ask the Lord to forgive you.
Yes.
And He's quick to do that.
He is. And He's
quick. And then you go free.
He's quick to point it out to you if you don't know. There was a lot of things that I didn't know I had in my life. There's hiding, as Psalm 19:12 says.
Ask Him.
But I asked Him to show me. I prayed Psalm 19:12. We read it the other day. I asked Him to show me, and He began to point out things. Well, two days ago, He pointed out some fear I had in my life. And it surprised me. We talked about that Monday and Tuesday. But He will save you. Save you from yourself. Save you from the enemy. Save you from others. He is our Savior.
Yes.
And so in our talk about being free,
He has saved us, actually. All we do is receive what He did.
And listen to what He says, because what we read yesterday in Hebrews 2 is, He is the perfect Savior to walk you through what you're going through.
Amen.
He knows. He's already paid the price, and He was already tempted, the Bible says, just like you. So He's perfect. He's perfect to lead us through.
Amen.
Sometimes people look at His perfection, and that means there's a big gap between He's so perfect and I'm so not. But we don't need to look at it. We need to look at it the way He put it out there. His perfection is for us. His perfection is available to us to walk through in His perfection, not our own. So when we're imperfect, that's no surprise to Him. That's no surprise to your family. So, you know, if you just go with the flow of the Holy Ghost, He will move you through imperfections into victory. And He'll take you from fear into faith. But He's the one we're looking at to show us what to do, show us where fear is hiding, and diagnose it for us. So, you know, many times, if you look at, like, when the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus fell asleep in the boat and the storm came up and they were afraid, mm-hmm. they came to Jesus and they didn't even, I'm trying to think, I don't have it open in front of me, but I don't even think they asked him for help. How many times do we gripe at God and we're not even asking for help? That is probably the epitome of not going to him in faith, is to just go complain and not ask for help. You know, at least, I guess in some way, at least Martha was asking for help. But the disciples were like, woke him up and just said, don't you care that we're going to die? That's not even who he is or what he's there for. And so he diagnosed them as being without faith.
Yeah.
And he said,
oh, you little.
Where, yeah. Which is kind of the same. And you look at that and you see he didn't mention it, but they were filled with fear, so much so they could not look to him for the answer. And he said they were without faith. So that's a good example of fear tolerated is faith contaminated. They could not walk in faith. I told you a story this week about my daughter Lindsay when she was sick, and I knew I needed to say some stuff. I mean, I've been raised in this long enough to know when trouble comes, you gotta use your words. Our words are creative, and they were given to us by God. Our creative ability with our words to speak what we want. Well, that ability is there whether you're speaking bad or good. When we speak, it brings things to us. It summons things
or
to us.
It pushes away.
Or it pushes
whatever
away.
Whatever you say.
You know, if you say, well, I'm sick, then that's pulling that in. If you say, I'm healed, that's pulling that in.
I'm healed.
God made us that way after His own image. And so I knew I needed to say stuff. And I knew it was in there, but I was just like having this trouble pulling it out because of fear. So where there is fear, your faith is contaminated and it just won't work. And so in that situation, Jesus diagnosed him as having no fear. And actually, I think it's the Amplified that says, where is your confidence in me? They had no confidence in him. They had no confidence in the fact that he said, go to the other side. And he said, where is your confidence in me and in my veracity? And Mom, that word means in my inability to lie.
Truth.
So, you know, people always say, well, I want a word from God. You know, there's nothing that these words won't fix.
That's the truth.
You really don't even need another word from Him. He gave it all right here. But fear will shut those things down. Fear will keep you from looking at the Word. Fear will keep you, like it did the disciples, from looking at Jesus.
Yeah.
So, but Jesus diagnosed that. And right here, He diagnoses Mary. Martha. I guess he diagnoses Mary too because she was doing the right thing. But let's see what he says here to Martha.
Where are you?
This is Luke 10:38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. I've been there. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. So she's concerned that this is unfair. You know, we're talking today about the fear of being mistreated. That was her fear. It's unfair. I'm mistreated. And really, whether you are or not, sometimes people are mistreated, but the answer is still the same. If you look at the mistreatment, if you look at the problem, if you look at God change that person, even if that person's wrong, Mom, the best thing to do is just look to Him and He will change you. And the best standing that you have to pray for someone else is to first say, Jesus, change me. I had that thought the other day. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they talk about a lawsuit or something and they talk about standing, like if you want to sue somebody because they're doing something and you're not connected to that, you have no standing to come against that person. If you want to sue the state of Oklahoma but you don't live in the state of Oklahoma, you don't have interest in the state of Oklahoma, you have no standing to bring a suit against them.
Well, you're a good lawyer.
Well, yeah. That's about the extent of my lawyerliness. So I am not, this is not offering lawyer advice. So no legal advice offered here. But in this, the best standing for you to pray for someone else is to first pray for the Lord to change you. Then when you pray, I was thinking about this the other day. It's totally off topic, I think, but maybe it's not. I was thinking the other day that when someone who has been hurt by another person, and they've hurt you, they really have, and they really, you have good reason to have felt hurt, but you've taken it to the Lord instead of being angry, that person who will forgive and then pray for that person, I had this thought the other day. I believe there is a power in that prayer because it's based on the sheerest form of love, to pray for your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a power in that prayer to bring such change to both parties' lives. And the most powerful prayer, one of the most powerful prayers, is when someone has hurt you and you forgive them and you pray earnestly in love for them to be helped. And it's hard to pray that without letting God change you first. So that gives you a lot of standing to get your prayers answered. And actually, you see that in the Word of God. In John, Jesus said, you know, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And he's talking about, he just got through talking about walking in love. And he's saying, you're my friend if you do what I say. What's he saying? No greater love. He's not talking about his own love. He's talking about your love. That love that you will just walk in love because he told you to. There's no greater love than that. And he says, ask what you will. Isn't that powerful?
That's good.
If
yeah.
you are a person that'll just love because Jesus told you to. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. It's not easy. But Jesus told you to and he's going to help you do it. It says, ask what you will and it'll be done for you of my Father in heaven. Isn't that good?
That's good. Really good.
So here she is. It says, this is the Amplified. She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone?
Can you imagine correcting Jesus over somebody not helping you do the dishes?
Well, yes. I can actually. Lord, make my kids help me do the dishes. So I'm probably shouldn't judge Martha here. Tell her to help me and do her part.
Yeah.
But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried? See, she thought her problem was, nobody's helping me, and my sister is not helping me. I mean, we've all had those feelings about brother, sister, kids, spouse, friends. You're worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. So he diagnosed her not just about the dishes or the food or the people in her house. He said, you're worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. And you know what? Maybe Martha had a lot. Maybe Mary had a lot on her mind too. Maybe she was concerned about many things. But in her sitting at his feet, she was getting the answer to what her concerns were.
That's good.
Were.
That's right.
Martha, you know, and it's. I think it's wrong to say you shouldn't serve. I mean, obviously there's times when we have to get stuff done. So the answer is not the comparison between Mary just sitting and listening and Martha working. That's not the point. The point was Mary positioned herself to hear what he was saying. Martha could have been doing what she was doing in the same vein, in the same heart, in the same attitude to serve Jesus. See, right there in that moment, her attitude was serving herself. And that's what he diagnosed was, you've got fear. You're worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. And it says in the Amplified, Mom, that which is to her advantage. And it will not be taken away from her. Isn't that good?
Praise God.
It says,
she chose.
Let's look at, again at what she chose. She seated herself at the Lord's feet. Now you can do your chores all day long from the Lord's feet. Seated at His feet. We're not going to fear. You can do your work. You know, a lot of times at work, you have things come up. You have situations come up. You have employees to take care of. You've got bosses to deal with. And it can get overwhelming. It can feel like, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done for everybody that is in my circle that I have to deal with. Well, that's fear. And it's important that you diagnose it as such. And then you rebuke the fear and sit at His feet. So do you take the time? Mom, maybe in the next broadcast you can talk a little bit about, you know, it's important to take the time and sit at His feet.
Oh, yeah.
To worship Him, to read the Word, to put those things in. It's just critical to our lives.
It's absolutely critical.
And we'll just see law over that.
Praise.
Because you can make all the excuses in the world. But if you're not giving Jesus the time and sitting at His feet,
that's right.
You are going to have cares and fears and worries that are not addressed.
That's
you
right.
are not going to have His assistance. And He's there. Really, He's done everything that needs to be done and can be done.
But the receiving, and that's our part.
That's
we have
our
to
part.
Receive what He says and take it. Put it in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By faith. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.